Were you laughing?
It's just funny watching you try to explain that. Hold on to each moment. The days sometimes are long. The years are very fast.
This is so not what he would want me to say.
Perfect. This is perfect, folks. This is marriage 101 right here. Fine. Wait, how are we going to say the same one? That's crazy.
It literally came up in my head.
Me too. You know what? And there's been so many times, not so many, but probably a dozen, that I've gone to God in frustration over whatever.
Not yes. Me.
You, maybe somebody here. It could be you. You.
Would I even answer it? Probably not.
Probably not. Hello, welcome back to the Rebecca Weiss podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Weiss. I don't know.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So tell us, how did you get started?
You know, it all started when I was just a baby. Guys, welcome back to the Rebecca Weiss podcast. I'm joined once again with my favorite person in the whole world, Jonathan.
Thank you very much.
Jonathan,
good to be here.
My husband. I just talked over you. I'm sorry. I was so excited. You said, what did you say?
I said, thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for being
here. What's
this
special occasion?
Why are we here today?
I don't know.
We're here because it's...
What are you looking for?
Your pillow.
It's tucked behind my back.
What can we show?
You can show this card.
L is for the way.
That's all the people want is more singing.
Oh, it's Valentine's Day, folks, and I will stop singing because y'all don't want to hear that. But I guess you want to hear us. So happy Valentine's Day, babe.
You too, love.
Are we big Valentine's Day people?
We never have been. Maybe this will be our year.
Maybe this is our year. Comment down below, what do you like to do for Valentine's Day? And what is a good gift to get someone for Valentine's Day, because we don't even really do gifts.
Jewelry would be a good gift. Not that I've gotten you anything, but I have a lot of time to prepare and get you something.
Well, you are always so sweet and considerate when it comes to gifts, so I'm thankful for that. Well, in front of us, we have some questions.
Yes.
Viewers wrote in with their questions, and so we are going to be answering your questions today. So you want to go? Me? Rock, paper, scissors?
No, I'll go.
Okay.
It's the opposite of what you wanted to do with starting light.
Let's go deep.
Okay, cool. How did you prepare to be parents?
Well.
And have you always wanted kids?
Wow. Deep end.
Yeah.
Just diving in. How did we prepare to be parents? Well, parenthood.
Whoa, deep, deep pause. Parenting catches you by surprise. It's not, I mean, I guess some people are like, oh, we're going to have kids in August of the third year after we're married or whatever, but that's not how it worked for us.
I would say no one is ever prepared to be a parent. You're never ready. There's never a good time. I say just go for it. You know, I don't know. Sorry, I feel bad about this answer.
No, I think that's true, that you're not really prepared. And how we handled it was we talked about having kids when we were dating.
Yes.
So we knew that we both wanted to have kids. And then while we were dating, we said, like, we were dating long distance when we were getting to know each other. And so we said, all right, on the count of three, say how many kids you want. And then one, two, three, three. We both said three. So that's how we knew we wanted to have three kids, very practical. And then when we got married, you know, what happens after marriage? You start having children.
Babies.
Yeah. Once you have kids, it's just a learning curve that you have to partner on it together, because it's not like you've had kids previously.
Exactly. You just need to be, I think for me, I just said, Lord, I want to do this right. And I remember getting on my knees when we had just Ashy. And I said, God, I need you to show me how to be a good wife and a good mother, because I can't do it without him. And I asked him for his help. And I think through the years and just being committed to learning and growing, you become more and more able of parenting. Mm-hmm. And I think we really sought God's heart on a biblical form of parenting. And I think one of the best things I ever learned about parenting, and I remember I was praying, we just had Asher, and I was asking God about how to parent Asher. And I came across I think he's a psychologist. His name's Gabor Mate, but he has a book called Hold On To Your Kids. And the whole premise of the book is our ability to speak into our children's life is directly connected to the level of relationship that we have with them. And so it talks about developing a strong foundation of trust and relationship with your children, because the closer that y'all are, the more you have the ability to speak into their lives. And it just made me think of Father God. The more that we trust Him, the more that we open ourselves up to hear from Him.
Great answer. Very deep. What's your question?
Mine's lighthearted and fun. If you could relive any moment from your relationship, what would it be and why?
Italy 2019.
Yes. There we go.
2019.
19?
I don't know.
Yes, because it was December. Italy 2019. We went for 2 weeks. It was super fun.
Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, we went for a conference out there.
Right.
Mukhan, which is a messianic conference of believers. And so it was fun, but it was also...
Why are you laughing? It's just funny watching you try to explain that. No, that was so fun. We did Rome. We did Venice, the Tuscany. What's it called? Where were we?
Yeah, Tuscany.
Were we there?
Yeah, in Venice and Rome. Those are the three places we did.
So cool and beautiful.
That was interesting. That was one of the best trips I've ever been on. One of the funnest times in our marriage, because we were newly married.
Sad. It's so long ago.
Well, we started having kids right after
that. We've had a lot of good trips though.
No, we have. But you know, for people who don't have kids yet, just enjoy it. And then also know that, but yet at the same time, kids are like one of the best things we've ever done. So, you know, you enjoy each season for what it is. And what is something God's shown you multiple times about our kids?
Just how quickly it's going to go. And one of the things that he constantly reminds me of, just like hold on to each moment and be intentional with the moments as they're happening, even though the days sometimes are long, the years are very fast.
Yeah.
And even just Asher, because he's already 5 years old, you know, we've seen that go by so fast. And so we have Boaz, we have Eliana. Eliana is now about to be 8 months old. Yeah. Boaz is about to be 2.5. Almost 3.
So fast.
So we're just trying to really invest in them as much as we can, with as much time, memories that we can. Because these first 12 years are the so formidable years.
They are. And I think with Asher, he's really shown me how fast it can go. Because he's no longer a baby. He's 5.
Far from it.
It's crazy. We both have been shocked at how quickly he's grown up. And now his siblings are going even faster.
I know. That's true.
And I will say with each kid, you do feel more... For me, I feel more capable as a parent. But wait, did we answer the question? Italy 2019.
Yeah, we answered
it. Best trip. Second best trip, Hawaii.
I was going to say Maui. Yeah.
Yeah.
Third best trip, Tennessee.
Oh, yes. I want to go back.
But also, like, when you just think about just other simpler times, not traveling, times that we really enjoyed. Oh, Israel.
That's traveling.
Oh, sorry. I just thought of one more traveling one. But I was going to say—
Which Israel trip are you referring to?
The one that we went on, just the two of us.
The struggle bus trip, but it was so fun.
It wasn't struggle. It was just very intense.
No, getting there was a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
We were stuck in the airport in France, and everything was shut down.
The Daystar production staff sent me with so many things to carry. I had, like, an easel with, like, a bin full of pamphlets.
And we flew El Al, and El Al was like, what is all this stuff?
Yeah,
and
they thought
we
I had like, rifles.
It's brochures.
This is a rocket launcher, sir.
No. We're like, it's just brochures. It's just like materials, because we were going to a conference there. But we made it. We had so much fun.
We had such a great time together.
I feel like because we love each other so much and we're best friends. Wow. That no matter what
quite
we do.
Quite the label. Do I get a bracelet with that?
Maybe that's your Valentine gift. But we always make the most of the situations we're in. We can always have fun, just the two of us.
That is true. How to know the one. I'm sure this question was supposed to be, how do you know
someone's the one?
Yes.
Okay. How do I know someone's the one?
Someone's the one.
She's still figuring it out. That is such a highly talked about thing. And you know, sometimes I'm like, Lord, give me the right answer.
Well, what we did was you had just gotten on your knees and prayed, God, send me an assertive man. Rebecca had just prayed to God asking for something. I happened to message her that day on social media. And from the very beginning, there was chemistry. So you start by knowing if there's chemistry with that person. I would say that's like your initial foundation. There's not chemistry, you're going to make something not, it's going to be hard. Because life's hard, marriage is hard, having kids, all that's hard. Yeah. So you have to build the foundation first.
Yeah.
So to know, and then as we dated one another, we
had… But define chemistry, because I think you're meaning it in a different way than people perceive it.
No, I'm not. Everyone's perceiving it perfectly.
Okay. Well, I think we had chemistry, but it's more than just chemistry. We shared the same values.
I was working up to that.
Okay.
This is perfect. This is perfect, folks. This is marriage 101 right here. What we started with was establishing that we both made each other laugh. We enjoyed talking to one another. Mm-hmm. And then as we got deeper and getting to know each other, we started asking harder questions.
Yeah.
And values started coming up, how you wanted to raise our kids, what you believed in. You know, what kind of church we wanted to go to. All of these things that are like foundational to, in my opinion, foundational to a relationship, we asked earlier on in the dating process because we were dating long distance. It was easy to talk through a lot of that stuff. So I figured out that you were the one while we were dating long distance. You know, I remember where I was in the moment when I had the thought and I felt in my spirit, I was like, oh, she's the one. Like I know that memory. I know that spot, everything. So maybe it's different for other people, but I knew when it happened for me.
For me, I would say that from the moment I surrendered my life to Jesus when I was 19, one of the things he told me was to be really intentional about guarding my heart. And so I was intentional about just pursuing my relationship with him. And I submitted my life to him. And so that also came down to who I was going to marry. But I think there's two extremes. I think people are too like legalistic about it. And they're like, whoever God tells me to marry, and I don't even have to be attracted to them. And da 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 da. And then there's the other extreme of it, which is just like, well, whoever I want. And it's one of those things where God, I do believe, has a best plan for our lives. But one of the things I felt like the Lord showed me is that we make the choice. Like we submit our choice to him, but we make the choice, meaning like we have to take ownership for our decision, because marriage is a choice. And every single day you're like, I chose this person and I'm going to continue to choose this person every single day. And one of the things he showed me on our wedding day is that it says in Ephesians that God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And he told me, he's like, just as you are choosing Jonathan today, I chose you. And so it was like this powerful like revelation that he gave me. But, you know, I remember I asked God because I was afraid, because relationships are scary. Marriage is scary. It's a big thing. And
I wasn't scared.
You're amazing. Oh. We're different. Okay. I was scared. And I remember kind of giving God like an ultimatum. And I was like, I need to know if this guy is it or not. Because I really—
What stage in the dating process was this ultimatum?
Like earlier on.
Oh.
And I remember I just said, I really had feelings for you though. And I remember asking God, and I remember he told me, Rebecca, I've been guiding you this whole time. And so if you're really pursuing the Lord and putting him first and saying, God, I want what you want, he is going to lead you and he's going to guide you and he's going to show you.
That's the thing that I was going to say is just, I had a couple of closer or serious relationships mm-hmm. prior to you that I thought were like trending in that direction of marriage. But because I was making the Lord my priority and listening to him and following my peace and my relationship with the Holy Spirit, yeah. I knew when those were not going to be the people. And so
exactly.
And sometimes it can be a tougher decision because you have the values part or the chemistry part, but you really do have to hear from the Lord.
Like maybe there's not an alignment in calling. And so it's like if you get together, you're going to be working against one another. And so that's another thing is we have an alignment even in our calling mm-hmm. that we feel like God's called us to do. And I think I just have to, there's like so many directions I want to go. But one of the things I actually want to commend you on, and I kind of want you to speak to, is one of the things I loved about you is you were so intentional about, I am going to pursue to get married. And I think so many guys just like date, 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 date. And so can you speak to that? Like what, how you did that? What was your thought process and stuff?
Well, it started off probably a little immature because I remember when I came back to the Lord, I was like 22.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're 21,
22. And I remember exactly where I was. And when I started my life with the Lord, do you know this story?
I don't think so.
And I had just had this like moment of surrendering to Jesus and like giving him my life for the first time as an adult. Because I had an encounter when I was a kid and, you know, walked away from the Lord. But in that moment, after like that moment had passed, I saw like these girls walking by in the church. And I was like, okay, God, now that I've surrendered my life to you, who am I going to marry?
Yeah.
Literally was like the conversation that I started to have. And so I remember he clearly said it is only when... or when you're fully surrendered to me, I'll show you the one I have for you.
That's good.
Which for me was like an interesting challenge that he began to start like a relationship with the Lord that I cultivated over years. And every time I was dating somebody or pursuing somebody, I was surrendering that and positioning that before him and making sure that I was in active dialogue with God throughout it. So... I don't remember what your question was, but oh yeah.
Oh, just that you didn't date to date.
No, I was very serious from that moment. From when I was 22 on, I never really, I mean, I dated, but it was not like casual anymore. You know, it was like, I'm only going to be with one person for my life. I'm going to hunt and find that person. Mm-hmm. Hunt is intense.
And two, I think for me, like, it's like I was guarding my heart, but I had like a normal social life. You know, you're supposed to live your life in community, whether you're married, whether you're single, whatever.
Don't tell me you dated other men.
No, I'm not saying
yeah.
that.
On my Valentine's Day episode.
No, I'm saying that people are religious where they're like, I'm just going to wait, you know, and it's just like you can have a community of friends and live your life, you know? And so I'm just trying to tell people like you trust God to bring that person. And you guard your heart, but you also, it's important to have a community of friends and to live your life and not just to sit in singlehood and wait for life to happen. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So anyways, let's go back to the questions. Okay, my turn.
Okay, good.
What's one moment from your dating or early marriage that makes you smile every time you think about it?
Our first Hanukkah.
I was going to say that.
No way.
I was. I kid you not, me dancing in the
yeah
and making the latkes. That was so fun.
Wait, how are we going to say the same one? That's crazy.
It literally came up in my head.
Me too. That's weird. That's wild.
That was just such a fun,
random moment.
Was that our very first Hanukkah and our very yeah. first Christmas? Yeah. That was such a good one.
Yeah.
Aw, and you let me go to Hobby Lobby and I picked out all of my decorations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you love Christmas.
Did I not love it then? I was warming up to it.
You're warming up to it.
I'm definitely.
I showed you this that Christmas can be like fun and significant and meaningful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been eating coal all my life, so I never. How do you meet men who are genuine in the faith?
Oh gosh.
Love from Scotland. Ah, shout out my other homeland.
Oh, Scotland! That's so cool. Shout out to. Oh, we don't know who sent it in. Comment down below from where you're watching from.
Especially if you're in Scotland. I've been to Scotland because I have family there. And it's such a beautiful place. I'd love to take you some
time. I know, I want to go one day.
It's just like beautiful. And really just like whimsical and kind of
the
epic. Because there's like castles everywhere.
Yeah.
How do you meet men who are genuine in the faith? How did you meet men who are genuine in the faith?
Okay, so...
Didn't you already answer that?
That is such a layered question. You, because it's like everyone says go to church, but you got to be careful because there are some wolves in the church.
So I would say go to church, but walk with discernment.
Exactly. And I would say test the character, see how they treat their mothers, see how they treat other people, not just how they treat you. Key. See how they handle hardship. I mean, just, you know, it's very easy to put on a front. And so I just want to say be careful because there's incredible people in church, but there's also wolves in church. There's also demonized people in church. I'm not trying to be too deep. I'm just trying to say you got to be careful. But like we said, if you're walking with the Holy Spirit day by day, God is going to give you a peace. Yeah. And he's going to make it clear.
And you have accountability in your life. Like both of us, when yes, we were dating, just we from submitted. Our practical standpoint, like you submitted to your parents. Mother and father. I submitted to my mother and father. Hey, we are pursuing one another. What do you think about this person?
That's good.
You know, we did that very early on because I had done that with other girls too. You know, hey, and I, my parents were clear, like, I don't think that that would be a good fit for you, you know. The Bible gives us directions. Just got to follow it, you know. And it says, honor your mother and father.
Yeah, there's a way. There's biblical principles. There's a way. And we honor that in our relationship. The other thing I would say is one of the things that set you apart from other people was, one of the things that set you apart from other guys, and I didn't really date, but like I had guy friends, was you were one of the, and they were good Christian guys, but you were one of the only people that, it's like a lot of guys would tell me about like, oh, what God had showed them, or they would talk and talk and talk about themselves. But you were like one of the only people that was like, what is God showing you? And it's like you wanted to get to know me, and you asked things, you asked for my perspective and my viewpoint. And that was just so honoring and so kind.
I still do all those years later.
And you're good to your mom and your dad. That's really big, how you treat your parents, you know, how you treat other people. And we went through like it. Our relationship wasn't easy. We went through some hardship, you know, and I think that's good too because you get to see what this person is like in hardship. So don't put your nose down on that. Like, you know, we were living on two different sides of the country and we followed God's direction and you ended up here and, you know, that was hard. But that was actually one of the coolest parts of our relationship is remember, like, we were believing God for like a place for you to stay here and like, cause it moved so quick and God opened up all those doors. It was such a cool like faith building moment in our lives. That's I loved true. It. We would pray that night and then like the next day we would have a breakthrough and it was just like boom, boom, boom.
It still happens today. Remember it happened today with something completely different, but like in our lives,
yeah,
we prayed last night
yes!
and had a breakthrough
That's
today.
That's true.
Yeah.
I love it. And this is why I love having someone that has their own walk with the Lord. I love being married to someone that can hear God for themselves. Like that is just, I cannot say, not only hears God, but submits to God and has wisdom. That is just, I'm so thankful for that. That you are leading our family, leading our marriage. So thank you.
Welcome. What are ways y'all pray and study God's word together as a couple in the season with kids?
Oh, it's so hard.
I laughed because at first I was like, I don't think we do. But then I realized what we do is we both are sending each other verses that we yeah. get to encourage one another.
In our quiet times.
Yeah. But then also, if either one of us listens to a message or an exhortation or a podcast or yeah. something that has like a nugget in it, we try and send that to one another
Always.
As well. And then we come together at least once a day. It's not like we're not very formal with this. Like,
no.
We're not, this is the time that we shall meet. Call to past. We just meet up either in the morning, sometimes it's in the middle of the day, sometimes it's the night. It's like, and we're often bringing to one another either something God's shown one of us or something that's going on that's hard in our day. And we just use that as a moment to find God and seek him and pray together.
Exactly.
And so I would say that it's very organic. I don't want to sound too like trendy, but like the way that we do it is kind of natural. And because you and I both, and we figured this out earlier on in dating, we both were pursuant of a relationship with the Lord first and foremost. Because we're both doing that, we kind of meet in that spot often.
Yeah, I completely agree with you is that it is more organic, but you and I, we both prioritize spending time with God, like being in the secret place. And then the stuff that God shows us from our own prayer life, we share. And I feel like one of the things we majorly do with one another is we are constantly encouraging the other person. We're processing life. And so I'll come to you and I'm like, oh, this, and this. And you'll always come with a word of encouragement for me. Or you'll come to me if you're struggling or if something's difficult. And then I try to bring a word of encouragement for you. So that's a huge thing we do in our marriage. Prayer is a huge thing that we do in our marriage. And then one of the new things that we're doing is on Shabbat, We're lighting the candles, mm-hmm. inviting God's presence into our home. That's a new thing that we're doing.
Which is funny because
I really love it.
We've always done it since we got married.
We have, but not consistently.
We're setting like a new framework specifically because our kids are at that age now where they're forming their formidable memories. And we want them to be raised in a home where they have an understanding of their Jewishness as it relates to relationship with Jesus. And so we're doing Shabbat in the home, lighting the candles, saying the blessings, and like letting that moment of us coming together as a family being centered around God and his presence.
Well, and this is the thing, that we are God's people and God created Shabbat. Like, it's a part of like the kingdom culture. It's a part of like the lifestyle he's calling us to, that at one time of the week, we are inviting God's presence into the home and then we rest in him. Like, though God created the world in 6 days and then he rested. And so it's showing that we work and then we rest. And he gave us
that format. Exactly.
Exactly. And so it's so important to understand rest and to, especially in such a busy world where everything is fighting for our attention. Just
turn the phone off.
Put the phones down. And when we sat and we listened to worship music, I felt God's presence so strong. And the kids just kind of get to be kids. They play and stuff, but they are taking that in.
Yes.
And it's just beautiful. And I think, you know, I love going to church and church is so important. And I will always like support that, but you have to do it in your own home. And that is I would say they're both important, but it's more important that it's modeled in your home. Does that make sense?
You have to do both.
You have to do both. Like, and so that's what we're doing through that.
I think you're supposed to go, but I do have a good one.
Well, I feel like we've already, how do you know God sent Jonathan? We already talked about.
Let's talk about it again. I'm just kidding. All right. How do we.
Jonathan is amazing. I remember when I was dating him. This is so not what he would want me to say, but I remember having a conversation with my mom and we were just both in awe of the person you are and feeling so blessed that we were in a relationship and you were above what I even expected. And that's how God is. He gives, you know, far beyond what we can ask or think. And so that's what he did with you. And I still feel this way. And you've only grown into a more incredible man of God. And aww. So I love you.
You make my heart flutter.
Well, I love you. You're amazing. We had that conversation, Phi team. We had it in Brazil. We had it in Brazil. Our whole team is from Brazil. Oh, did we really? I had it in Brazil.
Wait, which conference? Oh, you and your mom.
I went to Brazil. So I went to Brazil two pivotal times in our relationship when we first started dating and then right after we got engaged.
Or something. Sugarloaf. Something like that.
Down below if you know what Sugarloaf is.
No one understood what you said. But yeah, I do remember you going on that trip. And that was a cool trip because you were ministering. And what's so funny is now to this day, the person that you're ministering with has become one of my good friends.
We're friends with them. I know. It's one of those cool God full circle moments.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I don't think I ever asked my thing.
I have a good question for you. I want you to answer this.
Okay. You go.
No, you have that. Go ahead.
No, I want to hear
I defer.
Okay. What do you and your husband, what do you do for you and your husband to have a getaway?
Well,
I want in a second.
It's been a minute, but what we were doing earlier on in our marriage, pretend like we've done it the whole time, is we would do a quarterly connect moment, which would be like a weekend together.
Yeah, I think it was more like yearly, right?
No, yearly we would go away for an extended period of time. Granted, we started having kids right away, so it's changed and it has evolved. And now we're super overdue for one.
We are overdue for a marriage retreat. But we've been talking about it
for like 18 months. And have we done anything in that amount of time?
No, but we're going to.
No, we have. We've done some small things where it's just the two of us, but it was not really to invest in one another. We were investing in like.
But the thing that you're saying is we would intentionally have a marriage retreat. We would intentionally go away and spend time together. And we'd also
overdue. I'm frustrated right now.
We would cast vision
together. How long will it take for us to book something? I mean.
Pull out your phone. Book it right now. Well, I feel like we had to wait till our kids were settled.
They'll never be settled.
Well, no, they're more settled now. When we had like a new baby, we can do it. But now, all right, well, yes.
Listen, let's let this question be the moment. Tonight, you're booking it.
Accountability.
All right. Speaking of me telling you to do something,
To answer that question, we get away. We are intentional.
What was the question?
What do we do on our getaway?
Oh, we're very intentional about that.
And we are intentional about doing it. We're intentional with what we do. And one of these, we just have fun together. Because it's when you're with your kids all the time, you know, the vibe is different when it's just the two of you. And it's just easier that you can fully focus on that person and you're not, your attention is not divided, because we're in the phase of little kids. You know, so little kids are like, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, mom, you know, and we love our kids so much. They're super cute. But when it's just the two of us, it's like we get to be like, just focus on one another, and we're both quality time people. So we have fun, we pray, and we seek God's, what is God telling us? And so that's why we try to do it once a year. What are you telling us for this year? You know.
What's interesting though, and I'll say, this is the last thing I'll say on this topic, is even though we haven't gotten away, we have found ways to do this in the midst of our lives, because we carve out a date every week. And we get two hours uninterrupted, just me and you every week.
Yes.
We bring in a babysitter. And so that, well, granted, I'm probably going to get slaughtered in the comments for this isn't a marriage retreat or taking your wife away, but it is giving us a moment of just the two of us to connect.
Yeah, but you've always prioritized me, so you don't need to get slaughtered in the comments.
Thank you. To connect, to plan, to strategize, to just be together, to laugh, to have fun. And that thing is important, because you have to keep – like your love on, you have to invest in the relationship. And that's one of those ways to do that.
That's so good.
How to be submitted to your husband, and how to love your wife like Christ loved the church.
Oh my gosh. Well, I was going to say, I thought I was only going to say how to be submitted to your husband. And I always say the full context of that verse, which is wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he laid his life down for her.
You know what? And there's been so many times, not so many, but probably a dozen, maybe more, I don't know, that I've gone to God in frustration over whatever.
No, not me.
You, maybe somebody here. Could be you. You. And he would show me that verse, and I would feel conviction, because that type of love, the ultimate sacrifice, is like, you can't question it, you know? And so it's a beautiful picture and a beautiful verse that we've been given as men, because there's really no living up to it. You can never live up to the sacrifice that Jesus paid for all of us. And so it's funny how God will use that like as a gentle reminder. It's like, this is the way, son.
Well, you cannot love that way on your own, but you can love like that God through you. Just how like sometimes it's difficult to forgive people, but God can help us forgive, and he forgives through us, if that makes sense. So he gives us the grace and the love for the ability to lay our lives down for one another. And to answer the question about submission, the full context of that verse is wives submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives and lay your life down. Love your wives like Christ loved the church, laying his life down for her. And a lot of times people hear, wives, you need to submit to your husbands. But really, we need to submit. But between the two, I say the husband has the harder role. Because to be like Christ and to lay your life down for her.
Thank you.
And so, you know, men are being called. You know, you're the head of the home, but
all you have to do is listen. We have to live up to God. That's way harder.
Well, the thing is this, is that men are the head. And so the more authority you have, the greater responsibility you have. Yes. And so it's something to be taken. And to lead is to serve. And so a husband is serving his wife and serving his family. And one of the best descriptions of marriage that I've ever heard. And women, I would just encourage you to love your husbands and pray for them, and God will handle them and he will speak to them. You don't need to, this is not going to be taken well, but this is just my personal experience. I really feel like it's better to not try to correct them or tell them what to do or come from a place of trying to, but just loving them and praying for them and allowing, you know, when you have a husband who hears from the Lord will show him the way. Just like you said, God has brought you to that verse. So that's my encouragement. And
serving them. One thing that you do so well, or I love when you do this well, is serve. You know, like man's number one need, I think, is respect.
Yeah.
That's definitely up there, you know? And so it's almost like when you're doing that, the other one comes easier and so on. And then when I'm doing that, then it comes easier to serve. So it's kind of like if you're both working towards
Exactly.
That common goal, it's like you make it easier for the other person to retrust the aisle and meet you there.
And if someone, and this is just another little piece of advice, just apologize quickly. Don't dig your heels in and try to be right. Just say that you're sorry.
That's something that my dad has talked to us about, which I like the way he says is the first one to the cross wins. Like it's a race. So it's kind of like a fun way to think about it because, you know, the first one to say I'm sorry, you know, and sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle, anyone who's been married, you know, like there's battles. It's hard to like find yourself there. But what you and I have done is when we found ourselves there and we've gotten to the cross and we've met there, we've been able to resolve things so much quickly and like with ease and restore whatever it was that was there, whatever it came in. Because like life is hard and you're also, marriage is under attack, family's under attack, exactly. The devil is real. So all these things are taking place. You have to understand it's not a perfect bubble that we're living in.
And it's just, we've learned, I think, to fight better and recover quicker.
Yes.
And I think that's so important. We've both learned it's not worth it to try to prove that you're right or to deck it out. It's just better to come. I'm telling you, humility, 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 service. And like I said, one of the best descriptions of marriage, and it really convicted me. I heard this a couple years ago in a Derek Prince sermon, is he said marriage, that when you marry your spouse, the two become one and your life is like going, as God brings you together, it's like God bringing you through the work of the cross and your life is no longer your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you died to self and now the two have become one and your life is now serving that person. And if both people could just have that mentality in that marriage, what a powerful and beautiful thing it would be. And so it convicted me because he said, your role is to serve that person and they will be a reflection of your service. And I remember I was like, I need to serve my husband more. So it's nice to hear that you affirm me in that.
Nice. We've got it on tape. Send me that clip. No, I was going to say one thing that's lighthearted but true is like not sweating the small stuff. When the small stuff can like really annoy you. Like there's things that I do that annoy you. And vice versa. But what we've learned to do is like laugh at those things together. Yeah. And that makes it like, it almost like disarms it because it still bothers us. Like there's things that I do that bothers you, but you've learned to like poke fun at it with me. And like I'll poke
humor.
Fun at
humor.
You know, and that helps.
Like, it's one of the best things in our
home. It's a muscle that you build over time. But yeah,
and I think being able to laugh is key to go through difficulty, to deal with frustrations or complications. If you can learn to just laugh and forgive and be humble. These are things that are going to bring so much peace. And I think with women, I think we set the tone for the home. And
you definitely do. It's biblical.
I have had to just be like, okay, am I going to bring in an environment of strife into my home? Or am I going to bring in a atmosphere of love?
You will admit the moments that you've set the tone have been the biggest like atmosphere changers in the home.
Yeah.
Like, and even if I'm, you know, it's just, it's the way it's
like
set
an anchor.
Up.
You know, it's like you choose how it's going to be. You set
I think
the
husband sets the trajectory and like lays the foundation and puts the framework in place. But then the wife is like the Holy Spirit. She brings it together and like the anointing to like foster God's presence flows through her into the home. It takes two.
No.
But I really believe that like that's the model.
No. And what you're saying is so true is that the thing is that people fight. And I think about in the garden when Adam and Eve, when God is saying, you two are going to, because of the curse, they had sinned, they had eaten the apple. And so God was saying, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. He's saying all of the ramifications of the sin. And one of the things that he says is, I think he says, there's basically going to be a power struggle between Adam and Eve. And I think in marriage, there is, people want to fight for power. And that's why the submission thing is such a hot button topic because people get angry. But if we can just learn that instead of trying to fight over I'm the head and you're this, I'm more important than you, but to understand that man and woman, husband and wife, both have value and purpose in God's eyes and that the order is not a matter of just because a woman is under a man doesn't mean she's any less valuable. She's just as valuable. It's just a matter of order. Because if there's not order, there's chaos. And we don't serve a God of chaos. We serve a God of order. And a covering and a head is actually a covering of protection for the woman in the family. It's actually a beautiful thing. It's only when people twist it and abuse it that it's wrong, but that's not how God intended it to be. He intended it to be a beautiful thing and a helpful thing. And so—
So good.
Humble, love, serve, key.
Last question. How do you model a Christ-like marriage for your kids?
I want to take that. Football. Pass.
Well, I would say that we're learning every day and working every day to be better at that. But one thing that practically that we try and do is not bicker or fight in front of them.
That's what I was going to say. That's so funny.
You know, it's not always easy. Like, we're not perfect.
Trying to fight
fair. We try and actually, or I'm always trying to shelf it and deal with it later because I don't want to show them that necessarily. Not that we don't show them conflict.
You want to shelf. Let's clarify this. You want to shelf, or tell me if I'm wrong. You shelf when things are getting out of hand, when it's too heated in the moment, and you say, shelf it, we'll talk about this later because it's too emotional. But we fight, we talk things through in front of our children to show them.
That's true. But that's
this
different.
Is how you work towards a solution.
And we explain it to them. Like, Asher starts to just be like, don't fight, or like, don't make me put you guys on timeout. And then we say, it's okay. And then it actually is. We are working through this. You don't need to be a part of it. We love you unconditionally. This isn't affecting you.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's not your job to work things out with mommy and daddy.
And then he relaxes because he's like, oh, okay, this is like mommy and daddy got to figure this thing out. And then we'll figure out the resolution. And he sees that take place. But
it's unfruitful fighting that we shelf. When it's hurtful, we don't do that. We realize, okay, we're not doing this. Shelf this. We'll talk about this when the emotions have gone down. And like you said with Asher, as we taught him, because sometimes he'll see us talking and sometimes he's like, you know, he's Mr. like, you know, do the right thing, you know? And so he's like, you two be nice or da-da-da-da. We're always like, honey, you're the child. We're the parent. We will work it out. You don't have to worry about mommy and daddy. We are talking it out. And he's like, oh, and then he's good. So yeah. But yeah, I was going to say fighting in a Christ-like, not fighting, but coming to resolution in a Christ-like way. Loving one another,
yeah, serving one another, in front of the kids.
Showing affection, I think, is huge. I don't think you have to save that. Like, you can hug one another, kiss one another in front of your kids. I think prioritizing one another in front of your children. You know, your children are valuable and you show them that you love them, but you show them that, hey, your mother, your father come first. And that actually gives your children a sense of security. Because it's not showing them that everything revolves around them, which would feel unstable, but rather that everything revolves around the Lord, you know, and then there's his order of things, so.
I can't believe we made it through an entire Valentine's Day episode with no questions about sex. Either somebody went through and filtered these questions out. Why are you burying your head in the mic?
I
thought for sure there was going to be like multiple sex questions.
I don't know if we give off those vibes that we talk about sex on a public platform.
Oh, that's right.
I don't think we give off. I don't think I give off that energy.
Well, it was a couple thing. Anyways, you'll have to tune in next year's and see if anyone writes a question.
See if anyone adds anything steamier to the conversation. Yeah. Would I even answer it? Probably not.
Probably not. We'll probably have to edit
you
it.
Probably would.
You're, I would edit
you're
it.
You're so chill. You don't care. And on that note, hope you have some good sex on Valentine's Day if you're married. If you're not, wait for the marriage and the right person.
I just want to say I love you. And aww. I enjoy getting to sit down and talk these things through. It's like funny because you think this moment is like it's a work moment. We're preparing something. But yeah. It's actually nice to connect in this way. And it's a good reminder of who we are together. And so appreciate you having me on.
Well, I love you. Thank you for saying that. My favorite podcasts are the ones I do with you. So we'll see you here again, I hope.